Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast, edition number 36. Joining myself, Omo, you've got my regular co-host, Mr. Mickey Simpson. Hello, pal.
Hello, fella. You all right?
Yeah, I'm trying to mix the intros up a little bit. I think I caught you off there a little bit myself, no? Or...
yeah, a little bit. No, it's just 36. I thought we were on 36, like, but maybe not. Don't worry.
I'm pretty sure it was 35 last time out, but we'll go 36. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be banged to rights. But I think Mickey owes me a pint if I'm probably correct, which I think I am. Joining me as always, and Mickey, we've got regular co-host, Mr. Kai Bennett. Hello, pal. You good?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I think you will be getting that pint. I think it is 36. So,
Mickey's
well, technically, it is 36.
Yeah.
But technically, I suppose the Kai's post-match would have been the 36th video as such, but no, it is.
No, I only count podcasts in that list. So
36. You are correct. And a pint of phlegm is yours.
Nice. Thank you, mate. Edition number 36, obviously, of the 2020-21 season. 21-22 season. As you can tell, we're professionals here anyway. But we're talking today a bit about our game at the weekend against Nottingham Forest, which saw Mill lose 1-0. Lewis Graham, of all people, striking right at the death.
Told you.
Yeah, you did. And I think, you know, I predicted a tough game and it definitely was that on Saturday. And obviously, we'll talk a bit also about some transfer rumours. A bit of a shorter episode today, but I think we're going to kind of touch over the transfer rumour mill. Obviously, a couple of players linked with us, a couple of players linked with going away from the club, including Matt Smith, of all people. So we'll be talking about that as well on the show. But we're going to go straight to part number one now, probably the only part, and be back in 2 seconds. All right, welcome to the first part. Kai, talk to me about Saturday. Like I mentioned at the start there, went 1-0 down, didn't we, to, of all teams, Nottingham Forest. I predicted a tough game. I think we all did on our previous pre-show, so to speak, of the game. And it was just that, wasn't it, on Saturday? And, you know, a few injuries as well, which we'll talk about. But, no, not the greatest performance from all, but there you go. It's one of those, and we'll suck it up and try and go again against Blackpool on the weekend.
It had to be him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Of all people, like anyone else, it had to be him. But no, I think it was I was literally just about to tweet that it was one of the most entertaining goalless draws I've ever seen in my life. But then as I look up, yeah, he's from goal. Yeah, never won. Should never do that, really. Probably take the blame for that. But yeah, no, honestly, like it was one of them games, you know, we could have won it about 2-3 minutes earlier, couldn't we? Bennett had a really good chance. Probably should do a little bit better, but you know, that's the fine margins, isn't it? That, you know, one thing goes your way and you win the game, one thing goes your against you and you lose the game. I think the first 30 minutes the other day was a really good start to the game. We were all over them. They couldn't get a foothold in the game. And we had some good chances. Bradshaw put one straight across the face of goal. Obviously, Scott Malone was inches away from getting his spot on the end of it, which would have made us one, would have put us 1-0 up. But the thing I think that we're lacking at the moment, when we're on top, we fail to sort of capitalise on it and you know, put down a marker. Like when you're on top, you need to score just to be able to, you know, at least give yourself something to work with. But you know, we don't really score in them situations. And I remember is we tend to score when we're sort of the game's quite equal, don't we? Or we're under the cosh and we sort of counter attack. Mm-hmm. So we need to try and capitalize on the domination of the first 30 minutes. I think we did that. I think we won the game. But yeah, it's a shame, especially of grabbing to score. But yeah, there was positive signs, just not enough to win the game, unfortunately.
It's a characteristic of our side, isn't it, Mickey? You know, where when it's backs against the wall, kind of classic Millwall, we tend to kind of put performance in. But when the onus is on us to take the game to teams, we can show glimmers of it. You know, you've got players in there that try and make things happen. You know, obviously, kind of referring to that first 30-minute spell. But ultimately, with Millwall, it just boils down to finer margins where when push comes to shove, we seem to turn up, but we can't really take the onus to teams at times. And obviously, Saturday was a good example of that, you know, not taking the chance we had. And obviously, late in the game, seemed to tire away as the game went on. And Forest just seemed to keep growing and growing in confidence and were keen to take the 3 points away from SC16, weren't they?
Yeah, 100%. You know, first half, again, we were all right. And then the second half, we just started to let them back into the game. And, you know, the trouble was they were getting stronger and stronger and stronger as we were going through the game. And, you know, Nottingham Forest just seemed to be, you know, building on that strength. They were just seemed to where we were tiring to a degree. And, you know, the loss of a couple of our players didn't do us any favours. Really fucked us up, to be fair. I mean, why the fuck? You know, no disrespect to Thompson, but, you know, he hasn't played for ages. We had Lovelace as well. Why he didn't bring on another player, but brought on Thompson. I don't know. He'll only know that. But yeah, no, look, you know, Thompson is a good player, and he's a good lad. He's a Millwall fan, everything else. But it was just. You knew it was one of those afternoons. You knew that when Bradshaw got injured, when OJ got injured, that you just knew that Graven was going to score the cunt. You just knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, I expected a tough game, and I think we definitely got that. I think looking at the second half stats, Kai, I was quite surprised to see it. You know, I think it was, you said obviously just before we came on air there, you was thinking about tweeting about how the game was entertaining 0-0. I think in the second half, there was 12 corners in the second half alone. Forest were just taking the onus to us though as the game went on, and I was surprised to see in the second half we actually allowed them to have 18 efforts on goal, which I think is probably a record at the Den, where the opposition are just constantly at times. I mean, I know Bart made a couple of good saves in the second half in particular. It felt like it was coming, but at the same time we were still in it. You know, Phobia had that chance at the death, and it could have been another day, you know, another result. But I think you have to give Forest credit where it's due, and I think they probably deserve to maybe just edge that game on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. There were spells in the second half, as you said, that we just couldn't quite get out. And there was a couple of corners, about two or three corners back to back. And they had three or four really good opportunities to score. And any one of them dropped the right way. I think Yates ended up clearing. We ended up getting out of the pressure by, I think it was Yates. I think he tried to, like, an overhead sort of like flick, I guess, and went over the bar. And that sort of like cleared the pressure for a bit. But there was a period there where they could have scored a couple goals. There was one when all the way across the face of goal, Hutchinson clears it for a corner, ball comes in, there's a couple, like one was kid off the line, it was like a little scramble in the box, then Yates has that, like they could have scored a couple times. I was quite surprised it was still 0-0. But then, you know, that's the second half, you like that, you know, in games where they miss chances, you're hoping that, okay, they've missed a chance, they've missed a couple of chances, let's hope we can now go on and nick it and, you know, get a win. And we nearly did. Obviously, Bennick, that chance is a really good chance. I think it's difficult coming across his body. But, yeah, I feel like probably should have done a little bit better than that. Anywhere else, apart from straight at the keeper, he scores, you know, we win the game. But, yeah, injuries did kill us, I think. It was hard to see. I mean, I mean, you know, obviously Thompson's a Millwall fan, and I always love Thompson because, you know, he always gives his all. But I've just questioned, you know, maybe could have brought on, I don't know, like, obviously Mahoney was on the bench, wasn't he, on Saturday?
And Bury.
Bury, Mahoney, they're probably more like for like for Ojo, aren't they?
Yeah.
Than Thompson. But yeah, I'll never hold anything against Thompson just because of the way he's a Millwall fan, he gives it his all and stuff, and it's, you know, but apart from that little period in the second half, maybe it was probably a 10-15 minute spell where we just couldn't get anything. And then the last sort of 5-10 minutes, we just seemed to rush things, and we just wanted to constantly try and pass our way out, kept losing it. There's times to get rid of the ball and just clear the pressure for a little bit, you know. And yeah. I think we didn't manage the game well enough on Saturday, and that's where we got done.
Mickey, you mentioned before the injuries. I think, you know, second half Paul's maybe put pay to that. But obviously Ojo was suspected ankle injury. I've not seen anything in the week just yet about the results of his scan. I don't know if
I don't know. He's wearing a boot. There's a picture on Instagram and that of him wearing a boot, and Millwall's put, you know, hope you get well soon, you know, hope you get better soon and all that. So, I mean, realistically, he's probably back at Liverpool now.
It's hard to say. I think also as well, the killer blow, especially fresh from his new contract deal, Tom Bradshaw suspected a knee injury. We don't actually know what's happened yet, but I know the manager referred after the game that Bradshaw heard a pop, which could at times mean some sort of ligament damage there. And obviously a similar injury to what he's had a couple of years ago now when he first signed for the club. It's not the best of news, obviously, when we're particularly light on the ground up front, I feel like, at times. And obviously, a rich vein of form for Bradshaw. And it's kind of put to an end that. And hopefully, just you've got to pray and touch wood that it's not as bad as the first fears, Mickey.
Well, yeah. I mean, you saw the other thing from the medics saying, you know, he's got a bit of extra movement in his knee, which isn't normally a good sign. If it is ACL again on the other leg or even the same leg or you know, other ligament damage there, then you got to feel sorry for the fella, mate. Do you know what I mean? He was just fucking starting to come on the form and this happened, but it did look nasty. It looked as if he went in for that slide and his boots just caught, and it just, with his body weight going down, he just twisted wrong and it looked fucking painful. Give him his due, he played on for a little bit and then he had to come off because it was just fucking in bits, but football's a cunt, mate, especially supporting Millwall. It's a cunt because when we look as if we're starting to go in the right direction, things just suddenly turn on its arse, doesn't it? But still, don't worry. We need a couple of strikers and Gary's out in the market for a fucking defender. So from Wolves. So don't worry. We're going to be there, mate.
We'll talk.
I don't know where it's going to fit in. But yeah, we'll have another defender. Why not?
We'll talk more about transfers in a minute. I actually think that Sanderson might be a good player, but we'll talk about that in more detail in a bit. With obviously Bradshaw's injury, Kai, it puts more of an onus on Afobe. And this is Sod's law, you know, being selfish from a club point of view there. You've backed Bradshaw. I suspect he probably would have signed a deal maybe to the end of 2024. End of season anyway. Well, they don't actually reveal the figures nowadays or the actual term of the length. But if you assume 29 years old, he's probably just been handed a 2-year extension, I imagine. Maybe with an option.
It is, yeah.
He's 29, 30 years old in the summer. It's sod's law for the club, isn't it, there, Kai? And obviously, like I said, a lot of onus now on Afobe to try and kick on and do the business for us.
No, I agree. I think that's the problem, isn't it? I think it's almost like a little curse, that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You see managers win manager of the month, and then they go down on the spiral of bad performances and bad results. I think that's pretty similar with contracts and stuff. You know, he got rewarded for a fantastic bit of form. Him and Afobe were starting to build something I describe as quite special up there. I thought they were starting to really click, and I think that was probably one of the, you know, that partnership they were building was probably the last time I've seen that. It's probably Morrison and Gregory. Obviously, won't go that far, obviously, because they weren't played as many games, but that sort of quality up there, and knowing what each other were going to do all the time. I mean, you saw at Hull, Bennick puts Bradshaw through, and, you know, he knew exactly where Bradshaw was. He put him straight through. And even Ojo in behind all the three of them were starting to build something there. Ojo has clicked. He's playing really well. And yeah, it's a real, to lose one was a blow. To lose two is a massive blow. So that's disappointing. Obviously, with Jed injured as well, that's frustrating. So hopefully this week we'll get some business done, and hopefully at least get one in by Blackpool, because we are really light, aren't we? So,
do you know what's going to happen? Jed ain't going to go in the January window. He's going to stay with us, and he's going to hit a fucking run. You can just see it written, can't you? He's going to go for a run, mate, and we're getting the playoffs, and he'll leave at the end of the season to go somewhere. But we'll be there or thereabouts, mate. And
we're 9 points away from Middlesbrough now in the playoffs, and Middlesbrough are flying. West Brom have faltered of late, so you know you could say there's a couple of teams they could catch, but I think there's too many teams above us now that are hitting good run of form. Nottingham Forest being one of them. You know, they had two losses before our game, but they seem to go in the right direction. I think, I'm not going to say playoffs is completely out of the picture, but if you're being realistic right now with the injuries we've got and the squad on the grounds, it would take a miracle for something special to happen like that.
You could just see it written, though, couldn't you? That Jed fucking suddenly comes on some form of form. He suddenly comes back and he hits some form, and we start fucking knocking goals in, and we start fucking getting wins and moving up, and it'll just be one of those that it'll get us there, but then he'll go. And he still wouldn't be a legend, even if he did that.
I think you'd be wrong there. If we get promoted, he would be a legend for that reason.
Oh, if he got promoted through his goal scoring, yeah. But I mean, if he got us to the playoffs and then fucked off, you know, I don't think...
Well, you've got to see if we get to the playoffs and we're on a momentum, we're probably going to win the playoffs. But no, let's be realistic there, though. I think, ultimately, if you look at the season now so far, we're 25 games into the league campaign, 8 wins, 9 draws, 8 defeats, 27 goals scored, 28 goals against. It's just been a really average season so far, hasn't it, chaps? I mean, I don't expect much different. Like, you know, we're a relatively small fish in the Championship pond. You know, you see Fulham smashing teams left, right and centre every week. And tonight, as we're recording, they won by 6-2 against Birmingham. It's a tough league, Kai. We know it at the best of times. But what's it going to take? I guess we'll move on to the transfers now. What do we need to do? Or what's the club's direction do you feel like we need to take now, where we've got to try and... It feels like it needs to be a rebuild again. And there's not been a rebuild anyway. We can't do drastic changes because financial backing is not necessarily there at times, and you know, we're not going to take risks like that. But it feels like we're just kind of meandering to a mid-table finish, which I think we would all took at the start of the season. We all had hopes of higher and above, but a mid-table finish again wouldn't be the worst case scenario. But what needs to change for us to really kick on in this division, if you look at the other good teams in this league, for example?
I think Dan, the other day, Dan Marsh summarised it really well. I think that obviously the overhaul in the attacking department is quite clear to see, especially in the summer. But with Matt Smith, looks like he's off to Salford and Bob Varson saving Omar from doing a swim at Blackpool at the moment. You know, that's...
I think he's not going to go before Saturday, but I don't think he'll be involved. So I feel like I've taken a win here because I knew this would happen. But his rumours be going Bolton, isn't he? And I think talks are slowly progressing there. I think it'll be a case of loan to the end of the season, but there's no recall or no turning back clause, and he's done. That's the end of his contract, isn't it? It feels like, anyway.
But that's how I feel.
There's something there, isn't there? There's something in the clause why they're not playing him. There's
Think through the clause. It's more so, I think,
because he's up the end of this season, isn't he? His contract's up the end of this season.
But there's no clause there, I don't think, Mickey. I think because he's not played a single league game this year, has he?
Are you sure we're just not playing him because he's not good enough?
Correct, because he's shit. Sorry, Bob Farton. I don't mean that in a...
Yeah, but we were in trouble now. We could potentially have to play him.
But then this is... We could have and should have played him when we had all had COVID. And I don't know if he had COVID anyway, because we don't see who had it. But if he's gone to Iceland and we've got Lovelace on the bench and he's 15 years old, we'd rather have a 15-year-old on the bench than Bob Farton. There's something seriously wrong there. We'll never know what actually is the story, and you never quite do. But... it is a weird turn of events, considering as well you're letting Matt Smith go, like Kai said there, to Salford, which is rumours to be almost done, and it's going to be probably happening sooner rather than later. So that leaves us with Bradshaw, who's injured, and then you've got Benikofobi and Mason Bennett left in the forward line area. Scary prospect, that, isn't it, Mickey? I mean, what's going to be done here? Like, you know, Bud Farson's going to go. He should have been gone a while ago. And the thing is, like, I kind of want Wallace to go at this point, and I think he will go, because we need some money to reinvest in the squad here. We need to make some changes here and kick off, and do something.
I mean, there's a few bits and pieces floating around. It looks as if we're heavily looking over on the continental teams. We're looking at some ex-PSV player and some other players. We'll see where we go with that. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think if we can nick $2 million for Jed, get rid of him now. But, you know, realistically, if he's not injured, and realistically, no club's going to want to sign an injured player at the minute, are they, really? Not with a big investment, just in case it turns long-term. Then, you know, is it better to have him if he's half fit, maybe play him and see what he can do for us? Because he is a threat when he's on the pitch, but, you know...
Who's it for, Jed?
Jed, yeah. But he got some shit this week, didn't he, off someone? Lewis UFC or something.
Because, okay, so let's try and sit very much in the middle on this one. We've been told he was training all last week, and then he's got a tear in his quad injury again, Kai? I mean, is that what's been
reported? I think that was it.
There's something there. That's what's rumours been said.
Yeah. There is something there, I think.
This is the actual line that's come from Rowett, right? And obviously, a fan has tweeted him, and then Jed's gone back to him and said, look, my commitment's always been there. I've played over 200 games for Millwall. I've never not made myself available to play. But let's be honest, lads. I feel like if this is Jed Wallace with 2 years on his contract and is playing for Millwall week in, week out, which he had been up to this point, I feel like he's always been that player that's always played for injury. Harris has always said it when he was in the manager. I'm not saying this is an injury he could have done played through, but he's obviously, I feel like, maybe being more cautious at the moment. I think that's probably an obvious read there, Mickey. I don't know if I'm being...
I think it's
hard to say. Maybe if he was 100 fit, he would have played Saturday. But I am playing devil's advocate here, and this is football. Do you know what I mean? This is modern-day football. We're not stupid, especially when there's like life-changing money involved, potentially. You don't know what he can be owning at Nottingham Forest, potentially, or anywhere he goes. If he's got a small tear and he could have played for it a year or two ago, he probably would have done. Now, he's probably not going to, because he knows he's got a new transfer sooner rather than later that doesn't want to jeopardise.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that's the problem with modern football. You know, Lyle Taylor was the one. Lyle Taylor didn't want to play for the last few games because he didn't want to get injured because he had a big payday coming, which, you know, I can understand with him. You know, at the end of the day, he didn't want to risk it and throw it all away. I mean, Jed, I think, slightly different. We're not necessarily going to get a payday out of him, but, you know, I don't think he's refusing to play. I think he probably has got an injury, but is it as bad as what we're being told, you know, it's being made out to be, or is it the fact that actually playing might just tweak it that little bit more, and he might fail a medical. So, you know, it could be 50-50 with the club. The club's going, look, if you're adamant on going during the January sale, in the January transfer window, then I don't think you should be playing competitive games where you have got a slight, you know, pull or slight tear or something on there, but we keep you training, keep your match fitness up and all of that lot, rather than it's him going, oh, you know, I don't want to risk the tear. I think probably, to be fair, the club's looking out for their investment, because at the moment they're going, we get rid of him during the transfer window, we can make £1.5 million, £2 million. And don't forget, they've still got to play. Is it Wolves they've got to pay?
Yeah, I think I've seen some sell-on clause rumoured there. I'm not sure what that's about. I mean, it would make sense, wouldn't it? Because he was young when he left. But I don't know. The club will have to, they'll have to think about that as well, don't they? So
a lot of clubs put like a 10, 15, 20% sell-on clause just in case they get sold on or you know, especially if you've got a half-decent player. You know, at one point, you know, realistically, 5-8 million you could have got for him, couldn't you? Plus,
probably even more, especially at one point or another. There was always that rumoured link with Aston Villa, and obviously that double deal with George Saville and him to go to Middlesbrough at the time, which could have touched £15 million at the time, which is crazy money to think now, considering we might be losing him on a free if we don't sell him this window. Is there still room maybe to think that he could sign a contract, or is that dead in the water now? Do we feel like
Get Premiership? Unless we're looking to be there. But I think it's all to do with the way the team's playing, the way the direction the team's going. I mean, you know, the last few games haven't necessarily played well suited for him, have they? You've got to look at the formation, what would suit him and what he's a traditional football player, isn't he? He's a traditional old style football player, I'd say. And I just think that the way Rowett's looking to move into modern football as a whole, and I don't know if he really fits into that way of thinking.
Bullets fits into everything about Gary Rowett.
Do you think he fits into Forest then? Because like what I saw of Forest the other day is they're quite. I mean, one thing I would like to say from Forest is I thought that Keenan Davies was absolutely unreal. Honestly, he's just so strong, isn't he? Like, but him and Hutch are having a proper old wrestle there, and he came out quite a few times on top. So, you know, I was quite impressed with him the other day. I mean, he's been rumoured to go quite a few times, hasn't he? In the last couple of years, he got injured, then something else happened. But yeah, he's a really good player for Forest.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
Cooper plays a lot of attacking, doesn't he?
A few other players we've been linked with anyway. That same Fleming link is not going away. The Fortuna Sittard midfielder, he was quoted in the week of saying it's a nice option to move to the Championship. And obviously, he kind of spoke nicely of Millwall, saying Millwall's a nice option, but you know how last summer went. Is that because we couldn't get a deal over the line last summer? Is it
that was Forest? That was Forest. Yeah, they wouldn't sell him. And I saw something on Twitter the other day, one from the Fortuna Sittard's manager. I think it basically, obviously, because you get it all in the Dutch, but you can translate it on Twitter, and it says something like, "We're going to tie him into the stadium or something," right? Like that, and then like laughing. So he was laughing after it. So I mean, they clearly don't want him go, but they're in a relegation battle, aren't they? So they wouldn't want to let their star man go. I think he's still got quite a good contract as well, what people are saying. So, it's another one. But he's a good player, though.
Another one that's gone dead in the water, it appears, tonight anyway, at the time of recording, which is Tuesday the 18th, Louis Sibley. He's not going anywhere, according to Derby County. I think Millwall stumped up £450,000, according to Richard Cowley from the South London Press. I mean, Mickey, I guess if they're not budging, but you'd think if it's a club in administration, they'd have to sell these players. But I guess
some contracts as well.
Yeah, but I suppose like a lot of the time, when they're in administration, a lot of these administrators cash strap the club and take money where they can and sell left, right, and centre. I guess the valuation they've got, Millwall not getting close to it, I suppose, in that sense.
How much would you value him for? He's got to be a million and a half, maybe two.
Yeah, they reckon two. That's what the fans are saying on Twitter. But
so realistically, you know, we've gone in there on the cheap, really, haven't we? But
he hasn't featured, hasn't he, for a while?
No, but Derby's in trouble, though. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Derby with stuff what they've got going on at the minute, mate, they're banging trouble. And, you know, realistically, they could be, you know, if they can't play their players, very soon, then, or you know, pay their players to fulfil the rest of it, they could be kicked out of the league. So, you know, plus they've got stuff going on with Middlesbrough and stuff going on with fucking Wickham. So they're bang in trouble, mate. I'm surprised, really, that I think maybe we go back with a slightly better offer, maybe closer to a mil, maybe 600-700. And you might start, you know, you might start flexing their faults, as if to say, yeah, maybe we need to get rid of him.
It feels like there's no sense of urgency, though. And I think, you know, you've still got a couple of weeks.
Doesn't seem any of it this transfer window, though. Does it anyway?
It's a really hard window, notoriously, to do business, though. That's the problem you've got. And that's why, like, clubs don't want to sell their players because they don't want to, they can't replace them necessarily. So it's hard to do business in the January window. And it's, of course, the club will have a list of options they want to go for and who they think would be a good this player in this position or a good player in that position. Ultimately, though, if the, you know, January, no clubs are obliged to sell unless you're Derby County, I thought, but there you go. I mean, we're playing down Derby here, Mickey, but if you took away their point deduction, they'd be above Millwall in the league table this year.
But they're not, so who cares?
But I think it highlights the work anyway Rooney's doing there.
Well, one player I'd like was Tom Lawrence.
We had this conversation earlier, right? When me and Kai were talking earlier this evening, right? And who's that? Oh no. And if Rooney become available, say Rowett left, would you have Rooney at Millwall?
He wouldn't come anyway to me. It's a sideways step. He's only going upwards and he's managerial.
Yeah, I think he'd probably end up going to Everton. But no, it's just saying with Kai, because I said, no, I wouldn't want him there.
If you offered me Rooney now and like we could get him right now, he probably wouldn't be top of my list of managers to go for. But he's clearly got a good thing going at Derby County, hasn't he? And he seems to have mucked in together with everyone. I don't know if he's rumoured to have been like helping financially with some staff and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, he's done really well for his career and done well for himself. So, you know, he seems to have kind of found a siege mentality there at Derby. And I think all the fans have bought into it. And, you know, a fair play to him, I think. I know that they're miles off it still. I think they're on 14 points. But, you know, they're still close. And they could easily drag Reading, even Cardiff into it. Morrison's Cardiff's not doing that great at the minute. It's interesting, really. You never really know what could come about. And I do
they're
think...
They're only 8 points off, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're worth a punt to stay up, to be honest. I really do. And I think they just kind of got good characters in and around the team there, hasn't he? And I think they seem to be, like, you know, hanging on there anyway. So, good luck to them. But, yeah, obviously, St. Fleming we mentioned. Obviously, Deion Sanderson's been mentioned. Kai, do you know much about him? I think he's a left wing-back / first-time midfielder, if I'm not mistaken.
I think he's a centre-back.
Right, okay.
I remember when we played Birmingham in December, he played a centre-back in, like, a back three.
Right.
So I think he suits the back three quite well. What I've seen of him is he's a really good player. He's really good on the ball. He's quite quick, good in the air, quite strong. Definitely for me, when we played Birmingham, I was brilliant. I thought he was I reckon he was probably miles ahead of any of their centre-backs. I thought he was really good. And I'd take him at Millwall. But, you know, do we need one? I mean, the only question maybe is that we saw something the other day, didn't we saw it, but Murray Wallace or something got a shoulder injury or something, I think I saw.
Mm-hmm.
See, Murray's out. You know, it leaves us with bare bones of centre backs now. Daniel Ballard due to return. I think it's early February, mid February, something like that. So yeah, we could. You know, if Murray is out for a while, we could do with another one. But obviously, I think the priority has to be in the attacking line, in the attacking options, rather than the defensive and midfield ones.
How
many people do you think we're going to need to bring in?
This is what I'm saying. I feel like it's a bit of a mess at the moment. Like, up front, especially, we're so short. So short. And I think, that's what I was asking earlier, like, what is it that we need to be recruiting? What kind of ilk do we need? Because, like, we're probably going to bring in, you know, players that Rat might have worked with before or, you know, players that are kind of fitting the mould of what we've got at the moment. Whereas we need to change it up. We need to find some more dynamism, you know, where it's like... there's no kind of prospect at the moment in our team. There's no one that's like really grabbing the headlines and taking the game. And I think the way we set up is it's never going to change. I don't think that's going to be something that's going to happen overnight either. But I don't see the real direction of where we're going. I think we're just kind of meandering in the middle, which, like I said, you can't knock it because it could easily have been in League One again. And statistically, we're a League One championship side, Championship League One. But it's hard to see what can we do. I mean, I see Charlie Kirk has been linked, a player that plays at Charlton, obviously left winger. He's linked with Blackpool. I've always thought he's a decent player when he was at Crewe Alexandra before. I mean, I don't know why we don't. I'm not saying we should go for that player, but are we looking to League One, League Two? Are we looking at these kind of players that, you know, could really, you know, catch the game or try and, you know, grab headlines in them leagues for the right reasons? You look at Alofa again for Sutton tonight.
Brace.
He's not the option, but, you know,
yeah,
we need to. Are we looking at these? Are we looking at the right areas? Maybe, I don't know. What do you think about that recruitment wise?
I don't know. I think we need to be, you know, League One and League Two. Obviously, you find gems there. I mean, Brentford found Watkins, didn't they? There, you know, I think it was Exeter. I mean, Charlie Kirk, decent player, but don't think he's done very well for Charlton since moving there. Quite a good amount of hype around him, and then has never really had to live up to that hype. But you know, I think the market I'd like to see us go is the you know, foreign market, and I think that's what we're starting to do. And that's I think that's where you get the most money. That's where you get the best value for your money, I think. Because you look at Brentford, I think they brought in Bemrama 1.5, Mbeumo 1.5, Mope 1.5, around them sort of figures. I mean, Ivan Toney and Watkins obviously are different. They brought them in for the lower leagues, but that sort of transfer policy works, you know.
So my argument to Brentford, so it's butting there, is I feel like you could have plucked X, Y, and Z. And because Brentford play this style of play, they're more likely to produce than they are if you bring them into a Mill setup, for example. I feel like our setup is not to control the game. It's not to, you know, outscore teams. It's to be in games and try and win them 1 or 2-0. You know, like, and I know that sounds a really simplistic way of saying it, but I don't think you could pluck players out. I look at Peterborough all the time, League One, they cycle through strikers. Johnson Clark-Harris was, you know, an average Championship / League One player. He goes to Peterborough, scores 30 goals. Do you know what I mean? Like, I do feel like you can promote these players by making them look a bit better when you put them into a side that is dominating the ball at times. And I feel like with Millwall in particular, Kyle, that I don't think you can pluck these kind of players out of nowhere and just put them into our side. I mean, I'm happy to be proved wrong, but
I absolutely agree. And I think, like, it depends how you play. But the only thing I'd say is I don't think Brentford have played the way they do forever. I remember when Brentford were, when I was growing up, when I was younger, Brentford were always I always thought of Brentford as quite similar to us in the way that they were quite compact, they'd be quite good defensively. And I think it's by the cycle. I think Thomas Frank's done a brilliant job there, I think, in the way that he's brought these players in. And he's had it, and as you mentioned about direction before, he knows what direction he wants to take the club, and he knows what he wants to play. And it's worked for him, and he's, you know, he's done really well. And their transfer policy is sign players young. They're now looking to, I think they saw today, they were looking to sign Brennan Johnson from Forest, who he must be 20, 21.
Yeah.
Quite well for Forest this year, did really well for Lincoln last year. That's the policy, you know, that's the way you have to look at it.
But policy probably comes from the top, isn't it? You know, Matthew Benham's the owner there. I think they had a director of football that was involved, and there's a couple of other characters there that kind of pull the strings at the club. This is back to my point, Mickey, that I always say to you, like,
yeah.
Who is the decision maker at the club that is going to be sustainable past Gary Rowett? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no one on the board, in my opinion, that is a footballing kind of strategic person. We put a lot of trust, which is obviously a good thing for a manager to have. We put a lot of trust into the manager and say, you pick your players. The manager oversees a lot of the stuff, and I think they even have their say in the recruitment department. Whereas if you look at Brentford will sign players that the manager might not want. But they go, well, this is the player that will fit into our way of playing. This is how we want to play. This is what we want to do. This is our strategy. Whereas with Millwall, we put a lot of trust and a lot of power into the manager's hands. And I feel like, you know, it's good for the manager, obviously, but maybe Rowett's not really proven that he's signing players out of nowhere that are turning into gems, if that makes sense.
Is that a difference between having a head coach and a manager, I guess? Because
maybe
if you have a head coach, then the owner would get more involved, the chief executive, all the, you know, the transfer recruitment, they get more involved. Whereas you've got a manager, I guess they're much more influential now.
You hear of horror stories as well. Like, I'm not saying this is the answer, but if you look at Norwich City, they've got Stuart Webber in charge there, in charge of transfers. You look at Brentford, they've got a director of football in place there. You look at Fulham, the similar sort of thing but then these clubs sack their managers every 6 months if they're not performing. So, you know, Millwall's not that sort of club.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I think since Berylson's come in, he put a lot of trust in Jacket. Jacket was plucking players out of nowhere. Your Jimmy Abdouj, your David Fords. And these are all Kenny Jacket signings. You look at Neil Harris, he picked out Sean Hutchinson, Jed Wallace, George Savills. You know, George Savills kind of here beforehand as well. You know, even Gregory was obviously a player that Holloway signed, but obviously Harris nurtured. And then now you look at Rowett, and I don't think Rowett signed anyone that since he's been here that I'm looking at thinking there's some longevity there. He's given the chance to a couple of players, and you know, Billy Mitchell's kind of flourished under him and he's come into the side. But if you look at like the signings he's made since he's been here, Mason Bennett, Scott Malone, Keith Dumbeld, Evans, there's not really anyone there that is kind of
making they're all players he's known, isn't it?
It's to come. These are players he's worked with before, players that you know he trusts, which is fine because he knows they'll do a job, but we're not really looking at a directive there. It's all kind of mix and match of players he's had previously, I feel like.
No, I agree. I think, you know, he's gone for the easy option. Well, not the easy option, but he's gone for an option where he can hit the ground running, isn't he? Rather than trying to, you know, coach players to make them better. You know, we've got players in the youth setup what are there and coming through. And hopefully we've got more coming through in the future. But again, if we don't sign the right attacking players coming into this window, then hopefully they will use the youth players. But I think you're right. I think with a director of football, I think that is a good, safe position. I know it doesn't work all the time, but it's a great way to go because, you know, when Neil Harris left, he took the backroom staff with him as such, you know, and then what's his name left? What's his name come in? He brought in his backroom staff. And he brought in his recruitment guru for what he wanted, guy he worked with before at Birmingham.
We've got Harvey Bustle, that's who it is, who's but you don't really see much from him. He's I guess he's in the background, but obviously the two of them come as a pair, and it wouldn't surprise me if Rowett left, probably Harvey Bustle will go with him. Do you know what I mean? Like, is he the man for recruitment because he worked with him at Birmingham? I just think there needs to be a directive change, I think, long term at Millwall, that kind of this is how Millwall are going to play. And you're the manager that we believe can do it, or you're the coach that we believe can do it. I just think that I feel like if we want to go to the next level and try and punch above our weight, as we all like to stay in hope, I just think that maybe there's a directive there that needs to be changed. And if anyone's listening to this and agrees with us or disagrees, it'd be great to get your thoughts on that. Just to wrap things up before we do go, though, I saw that an interesting one is obviously not quite worked out for him at St. Johnstone, Kai, but Hayden Muller's back in the fold at Millwall. I think obviously injuries have kind of helped him to come back. It leaves us, you know, with Alex Mitchell out on loan. There's no real need to call him back for more because he's playing every week there. But Muller back involved. I mean, could maybe see him maybe get a couple bit of game time, maybe, Kai?
Yeah, he hasn't got many appearances at St. Johnstone. But every time I've seen Hayden Muller, he's always looked a really good player and a really good bit of, you know, has really good potential. Good on the ball, quite strong, can play in a few different positions. So yeah, I'm excited to see him. Hopefully we'll see him sooner rather than later and get a chance to potentially even have three Millwall Academy products in the side at once.
I think he could be interested in the right side centre-half position. Obviously, Hutchinson's kind of there at the moment. I suppose it is Hutch there. But I do wonder whether or not maybe we could see a bit of change there, maybe move Hutch to the centre position and maybe see Hayden Muller feature at times. But it'd be interesting if he obviously performs in training, whether he gets the opportunity to play Mickey. And the same goes to likes of Bury. Obviously, he's still here. He was on the bench on Saturday, not used. But I think because he played in the Cup, he can only go back to Hartlepool, which is what they've kind of muted will happen. But I don't think he could play for another club this year. So it's either stay at Millwall or go to Hartlepool with Bury. Another one that if we don't obviously recruit and we lose Wallace, I imagine he'll probably stay and get some game time as well.
Yeah.
You sound infused, mate. Are you right?
Yeah, no, I completely tell me that question again. I fucking took it in, and then when I went to open my mouth, it just Tyler dropped Bury. Straight out of my head. I think he's I don't think he needs to go back. I think we need to have him playing. But again, you know, realistically, why didn't he fucking play him on Saturday? Why bring Thompson on instead of him? It was an ideal opportunity, really, to bring him on instead, and we didn't.
I don't think Thompson done himself.
I don't think he did bad. I don't think he did bad at all. But it was a weird decision, wasn't it, to suddenly bring Thompson on when he hasn't played in the Championship what this season. I think he's played a couple of under 23 games. You know, was he? I mean, he'll always give his you know, he'll always give his must and give his whole for us. But you just think, like, you're putting a lot of pressure on a player when you've got one what was playing, you know, and played not long ago. He played, what, against Palace as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you could have brought him on. He'd done a job at Palace as well. We saw what he did at Palace, and he played well for us there. You would have thought that actually, let's bring him on. He could have livened up a little bit. He's got some fucking pace down that side, and we could have livened it up a bit. Maybe, you know, done, but, you know, it's that stupid fucking throwing what cost us with Forest. But I don't know. Look, I mean, it sums up. I know we're looking for players, and I know we're looking for strikers, and there's lots of rumours and everything else flying around with them. We've all got our sources, what we keep fucking tapping up every day and trying to find out information and stuff like that. Some stuff we can put out there, some stuff we can't put out there until a bit later on and stuff. You know, it always works like that. But it's madness. On a day where we found out that we've lost two decent players, you know, all of a sudden we're fucking decent. On the lookout for a defender.
Did you say? Did you say two decent players?
I said we've lost two decent players.
Are you talking about Bob Arsene Smith?
No, I'm talking about fucking Bradshaw and fucking OJ.
Smith and Bob Arsene. I was going to say one decent player. Half player.
No. I mean, and I can't watch Smith run anymore. He just makes me fucking die every time. You know,
do you know what's scary about the January window? Like, obviously, wholesale changes is probably what's on order. Do you know the last time we made wholesale changes? We signed, I'll give you a clue, we signed the likes of Paris Currenhall, Stefan Meyerhoffer, Sean Cumming,
yeah. Holloway,
Andy Wilkinson, Dan Harding, Diego Fabbrini, Jos Højvæld, Michael Tong and Jordan Archer and Gary Taylor Fletcher. That was the year we got relegated under Holloway. And obviously
good Harris options came then.
In. Yeah. it's
which one of those would you take now? Bring back Fletcher.
You know what?
I bring back the Hoff.
Yeah, I watched Taylor Fletcher a little while ago. And he seems to have his head screwed on, but I think he was towards the end of his career. And I think Mill was just a weird match for him anyway. But I think you look at that, and that is the reality. I think in the January window, we've never had a successful January window, I don't think. And I'd rather us just roll the dice on the youth at this point. And if get one or two long-term targets in, if you want this Sibley, maybe go and push a little bit more for him, or this Fleming. But I think now we're mid-table, 33 points, 34 points. I just think we're probably not going to go down. We probably need three or four more wins just to secure that. I just think you've kind of just got to go Hail Mary and just give the youth a chance, really. And when I say give the youth a chance, I don't mean throw them in every game, but go with what you got and bolster numbers with your youth players. Get Hayden Miller in the squad, get Bury in the squad, get Nana Baratang in the squad, even call back Tanto. And if you're going to play these players, and just give them an opportunity to play between now and the end of the season. And they're either sink or swim. Like, I remember the year we went down in 2005 when Marvin Williams was involved, you know, like, yeah, we went down that year, but we still saw a couple of players come through that, you know, grabbed the headlines, you know, and kind of done a good job for us. Marvin Elliott was involved in that team, Marvin Williams, even Ben May done a good job back then, if anyone remembers Ben May, you know, the B&Q scene. But, you know, like, I do think it's an opportunity to kind of give these players an opportunity to impress. And did that tickle you there, Mickey?
Yeah.
But this is it, though. I think we're at a point
now. No.
We're at a point now where, like, we've got a smallish squad, players are injured, call back your youth, sign maybe one or two players that you want to have as long-term targets, but don't buy panic players. Don't end up signing a DJ Campbell on loan or a Gary Taylor Fletcher on loan. Just give your own players an opportunity to impress, I think. That's me, anyway.
I totally agree with you. I think, I would be the same as you. Don't buy a player just because we need a player.
Correct.
Who potentially isn't going to do the job when we've got an academy full of players, what would fucking bite your arm off to just have a chance. You know, Lovelace, you know, Boateng, fucking, you know, Bury, et cetera. We've got players there what could do a job and... You know, maybe look at them and just say, actually, look, you know, we've got most of the squad. We just need two. We're going to put you on the bench. We're going to bring you on at 65 minutes and we want you to cause the opposition just trouble. Just fucking run at them. And that's what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the managers who are out there probably will have hardly any information on these youth players because the youth setup is quite well protected. They probably don't have a lot of information compared to the first team, and it will throw a mix in. Whether or not he does it or not, I mean, he came out the other week and said, you know, he wants to make big changes and he wants to look at the academy and all of this sort of stuff. It's a difference between saying you want to look at it and actually playing it. It is two different things. But personally, I would agree with you. We've got some players in that youth team what potentially could score us goals and cause opposition some headaches. And I think that's, you know, we're safe. I don't think we're in any form of risk of being relegated. So
there's still a chance you can go down.
Very slim, isn't it? But I think...
Don't try and put circles in square pegs, as the saying goes. You know what I mean? Like, or round holes in square pegs, whatever. I think if you
need pegs in round holes.
Yeah, whatever the saying is. But if you need a bum on the seat, don't just give it to a contract to a loanee that is 32, 33 years old and is towards the end of their career. Give it to someone in the squad that is 18, 19, 20, been with us for 4 or 5 years, impressed in the youth. Just give them an opportunity to play. I think that is not a bad directive now at this point of the season to go for. And who knows what that can kind of flourish.
And also, you know, with everything that's going on at the minute over the last week where, you know, we can't get the players, all that. As soon as you start playing players in the first team from the academy, other people will look at our academy to join it rather than fucking go somewhere else. If they think, honestly, that they can get first team football within 4, 5, 6 years, then you'll have people actually thinking about, well, yeah, we're coming, because that's the only way really we're going to strengthen the team going forward with the youngsters and build a solid, committed team of, you know, a lot of these kids together have grown up. I mean, remember when we did the Cherno interview? He said, you know, during that time, there was like 4 or 5 of them what come up from football team, you know, school football team, local football team, into the Millwall team. They even brought their coach in with them to keep them going and all that. And then, you know, they started making a noise. They started behaving. They started really forming a relationship together and they went about their business. And that's what we need again. We need some of these youths to really step up and just have that opportunity. Whether or not they get it or not is neither here. It's all right that we sit there and talk about, you know, decisions we don't like and results we don't like and everything else week in, week out. But realistically, we got fuck all to do with how things have changed or how things go. So hopefully, we know that people from the club listen to us. Hopefully, you know, that we can just give youth a chance.
This is also the crop that a couple of years ago won the Southern Under-18s Championship. So, you know, like, that they're a good bunch based on other levels and other teams.
And a lot of them are in England as well. There's a few of them that are in the England setup as well. So, you know, there are decent players there.
Yeah, that's it. So, who knows? We'll see. I think we've actually come to a natural end anyway for our podcast tonight. Obviously, if you're listening, be sure to give us a subscribe and leave a like if you're listening on YouTube. Be sure to comment. We always appreciate your comments. Anything else, Kai, you want to put into the show before you leave us today, mate? You're on mute. Unbelievable Mickey in disguise.
No, I think that's about it, mate. I'm feel a bit, but I'm going to leave now because I've been caught on mute and I say.
That's all right. Mickey's just first had a mate on camera as well. So there you go. He's broke his rule as well with the sound on. So anything you want to add, mate, before we shoot?
No, I think we'll do it when we do the next one later in the week, mate. Then we do a part two. Then I've got a few things I want to talk about and just throw against you two a bit. So, yeah, but we won't do it today. We'll do it on later on in the week, mate. And then we've got some other announcements and whatnot, I suppose, then as well. So, yeah. Hey-ho. Remember, put a comment on YouTube. We read them all, and it's good to get some debate and comments on there, mate. So, yeah, it's always good.
Just gonna thanks for listening. Just going to continue your excitement for what we've got coming forward anyway. So we'll leave it at that anyway and not say any more about it. But yeah, obviously, as Mickey said there, be sure to comment, subscribe. We do appreciate it. If you're on Twitter, be sure to follow us at That Mill Pod. We always put polls on there, a bit of kind of stir some debate, and it's always good to get some interaction on there as well. And often we read out on the show. So if you want to have your say, be sure to get in contact with us. We do appreciate it. And yeah, we're going to leave it there. So thanks for tuning in to episode 36 of That Mill Podcast, 2021-22 season. We'll be back on Friday for a preview of our trip to the seaside. Fingers crossed we can have some transfers to talk about And hopefully we can be in a joyous mood going into the new week. And hopefully come deadline day, Mill can sign some players to kick on and save our season. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Up the wall.